prayer. Gracious, merciful Father in heaven, our Lord and our God, and the one who is the shepherd of the sheep, we praise thee, O Lord, for thy wonderful providence. We praise thee, O Lord, for thy love and thy care for thy children. How wonderful it is, O Lord, that we can be here at this camp to be spiritually refreshed and to have this time, O Lord, of sweet fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank thee, O Lord, how you have taught us from thy word, and especially, Lord, concerning the theme, to be strong and of a good courage. Today, Lord, as we continue to ponder upon what it means to be strong and of a good courage, we ask, O Lord, that thou would be our teacher and our guide. Lead us, O Lord, into thy truth, and help us, O Lord, to excel in our service for thee. So we commit, Lord, these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Yesterday, we saw how it is necessary for every Christian to be strong and of a good courage. This strength and courage that is being described right here in the scriptures is not a physical strength, nor is it a courage that is based on foolishness, but rather it refers to a moral strength, a moral courage that comes from God, that is grounded in his truth. And since we know that it is necessary for every Christian to be strong and of a good courage, then how then may we have this courage? Well, we also learned yesterday that this courage comes from God. It is not a self-driven courage, a self-driven strength, a strength from oneself, but rather a strength and a courage which God graciously would give to his children. And so the question then is this: how does God give this strength and courage to his children? Well, of course, God being God, I can at any point of time give his strength and courage to a person, especially when this person is facing some dire situation. But ordinarily, you realize this strength and courage is built up in a person over a period of time. There is a season of training. The Lord would use diverse means in life, right, in order to help us to mature in our faith, right, so that when the time comes, when there is a time, a season to be engaged in a severe spiritual battle, we may indeed stand by his grace. It's just like how when you want to create a beautiful vase, you realize that when a potter wants to make a vase, it does not just come at the snap of his fingers. He would take a piece of clay, he would soak it in water, and then there will be this process of molding. He will use his hands to shape it, and then he will patiently build it up to an appropriate foundation. And then there will be times where he is not satisfied with the shape that is in his hands. He may even find it necessary to break it and then to restart, right, the entire process. And then as he painstakingly molds the clay, the vase begins to take shape. And after that, right, this vase will be put to one side to dry. And after that, the vase will be decorated. And soon you will have a very beautiful vase. Or if you would consider how many soldiers are trained, well, you find that, of course, in peacetime, in order to be ready for war, there is you don't just send a soldier straight into the battlefield. What do you do? Well, there is proper training, and it is done step by step, step by step. When a soldier first enter into national service, you find that you won't put the person straight into the unit. A unit will be for the sake of those who have not been to army, will be a particular group of soldiers that is ready for operation, right? It should be ready for war anytime. Well, you don't put the person straight into the unit. You realize that most of the men will have to go through what will be called basic military training, right, to build up their fitness and competency with regards to certain weapons to a desired level. And only when they have this desired level, then you will put them into the unit for further training. And even then, they may not be ready for operation. They will still have to go through courses. They will have to go through different programs until finally they say, okay, now this group may be ready for operation. Let's put them for tests. They will go through several tests, and then after that, they say, ready to graduate, ready for war. Now, this is in peacetime. But what happens if a war is on? If a war is on, you'll realize that, well, the training for a soldier will be very different. This time round, I don't think there is time for BMT. Just throw the soldiers straight into what? Just throw the soldiers straight into war. Bear in mind this, because you will realize that when the Lord sends a person for a task, the Lord will prepare a person for that task and provide all things necessary for him to accomplish that task. But even then, how a person is prepared for a task will vary from person to person. Now, you look at Joshua. You realize that Joshua will have to go through a time of training. Right? The time of training is in verse 1. Then, after that, when the time of training is over, then it will be what? Right? The time for action. Right? So, there's a time for training. There's a time for action. So what exactly is this time of training? Well, let's read. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. The key expression that we want to take note right here is Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant. And Moses' minister, not servant. And this word minister has the idea of somebody being the assistant of someone. It's very different from the word servant that you see in the first part of verse 1, whereby Moses is described as the servant of the Lord. There, the word servant is the general of word for servant, or it could be used to describe somebody who is a born servant or a born slave. But right here, the word minister means somebody who is an assistant. In other words, Joshua has been serving as the right-hand man to Moses for many, many years. How many years, dear friends? At least for 40 years, right? When Moses, I guess the children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years. So 4 decades serving as an assistant before he is counted by the Lord to be ready to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, to conquer the promised land. 40 years. Right? That is the time for training. And so before we consider what exactly Joshua learned during those 40 years as Moses' assistant. First, let us consider how long it took for Joshua to be ready. 40 years. How many of you in FCM are 40 years old and above? So technically, still in training, right? Now, of course, you will see that, as mentioned just now, right, the timing of training is determined by the Lord. Right? It doesn't mean that, 40 years of training means a person is ready. Some people, after 40 years of training, somehow they still appear very immature, right, when it comes to their Christian walk. Some, the Lord may find it pleasing that after maybe 1 or 2 years, right, you see a person to be very ready for a task. Now, what is interesting is this. Like, for example, when you look at Spurgeon, for example, you know that Spurgeon was very ready for the task of preaching, even from a very young age. He was already preaching extensively at the age of which many of you are like right here in FCM. In fact, he may even be younger than some of you. But Spurgeon was also used by the Lord to establish what? The school of preachers. He knew ordinarily for preachers, they would have to go through a period of training, much training, lengthy training, before they can be ready to preach. He is an exceptional case. And so therefore, for all of you, right now you are studying on this team, be strong and of a good courage. You ask yourself, how may I find that kind of strength, moral strength and courage, if the time comes for us to really earnestly contend for the faith? Or time comes for us to make decisions, right, regards to certain things that, you know, these decisions are made in line with God's word. Well, the Lord will train you. And sometimes that training can be a very lengthy period of time. And how exactly are you being trained? Well, you are already being trained right now, not just in church, whereby you are going for things like Bible studies, fellowship groups, the Sunday sermons. Not only are you being trained by your parents at home, but your whole life is the training from the Lord. This includes your school. Your school is the training ground. Your school is the Bible college. Please don't think that people need to go to FEBC just to be trained in the things of God's word. Now, we're not saying, therefore, please don't go to FEBC for your night classes, okay, or your day classes. I'm very happy if you all would devote your time to take these classes. I'm more than happy. In fact, I feel that more young men and women should commit themselves to studying, right, the courses offered by FEBC. But don't think that your college is just FEBC. Your college is what? Your home. The church in which you're in, the school which you are now studying in. Please do not think that whatsoever you are studying right now has no relevance for you in your life. I know some of you may select your courses. After you select your courses, you may find that the course that you have selected is not exactly like what you think. And then after that, when you study certain things, you say, what relevance does this have for me in life? I know this very well, because before I became a preacher, I was actually a school teacher. And one of the favorite questions students oftentimes ask me when they study mathematics is this: what is the relevance of algebra? They look at me and then, how many of you can still remember your algebraic identities? I was not actually trained to be a mathematics teacher. I was trained in physics, but you know, most of the teachers in my school, we had to take two teaching subjects. So okay, I had to take elementary mathematics. So to this day, I can remember, what is A plus B square? Right? You all remember, right? A plus B square is what? A square plus 2AB plus B square. Right? Those in poly, no problem. They can still remember, fresh out of poly. Right, Carl? This one is fresh out of poly, can remember. Some in university, when they are in the final years already, they... What is it? I forget. You see, even in their course right now, what is the use of A plus B square? So my students will ask me. It's actually not such an easy question to answer, because the truth is, when you go out to work, next time, some of you, in fact, quite a number of you, may not be using algebraic identities. You go and ask our dear aunties and uncles who lovingly serve us right here. You go and ask them. Some of them may have learned that before. What is A plus B squared? They will tell you, I forget. I returned to the teacher a long time ago. And you will begin to ask, what is the relevance of learning all these things? The relevance of your school education is this. Because as you go through your school life, of course, you have to interact with your friends. You have to interact with your teachers. And then as you study, you will be subjected to discipline. Right? You will learn what is called the discipline of the mind, the discipline of your time. How to live a disciplined life. What it means to pray to the Lord, right? To rely on Him for grace and strength and help. That is the relevance, dear friends. It's not so much A plus B square equals to A square plus 2AB plus B square. It is the spiritual training that you go through as you live day by day in school. The Lord uses that to train you, to make you ready before you even become an adult and now have to fulfill the responsibilities of an adult. And it's lengthy training. Because as a student, you go through many years of education. And sometimes you wonder, when will these days of education stop? How many of you want it to stop as quick as possible? Want to go out to work fast? Now that you are in FCM, some of you will say no. Some of you will say yes. Why are some of you saying no? Because you have gone to attachment. You have tasted what is the working world, right? And now you are beginning to think, maybe I should extend my time of study. But most of the time, those who are in secondary school, what would they say? How I hope I can finish my O levels and go on to the next stage of life. Now, why we are mentioning all these things is this, from God's word. Because there is starting to be a trend right now, even in the working world. And that is this. Perhaps it's because of the fast pace of life in Singapore. That when it comes to studies or work, men and women tend to be very impatient. As they go to work, and then after that, they will begin to think, well, I want to be promoted as fast as possible. And then, if I don't see any prospect for promotion, this is not the place for me. Why must I keep serving under this particular boss who I don't even think is the best boss? Why should I even be engaged in this task which seems so mundane? I want to quickly escape. I want to change job. I want to change course. And then they go and ask their brethren to pray, and then they say, well, now it's God's will for me to change. Sometimes I really wonder whether it's God's will for the person to change the job, or whether or not the person just simply knows Christian lingo and then excuse himself. You think that you are ready to now be a leader in the department? Have you ever considered that God has not taught it that you are ready for that task? that there is still a period of training in which you have to go through. Because in order to succeed in that task, and remember, success is defined as what? Being strong and of a good courage to be able to bear what? Bear a good testimony for Christ, to fulfill His will, to be a shining testimony at work. Have you ever considered that you are not ready? And that God intends to use more time in order to prepare you? And then you may say, huh, how come from this person, he's so fast, this person, God, you only use 1 year. For me, even in 1 year and 1 month, I still stuck here. Yes, some even 1 year and 1 month, they already begin to be jealous of their fellow mate. This one, 1 year promote. I still need to go through 3 more months of training, then I can be promoted. Why, Lord? Well, it's in God's wisdom. He knows best. Are you prepared to be patient, dear friends? You know, even for one who is in the ministry of the word, he needs to go through a time of training, not just in FEBC. After a preacher graduates, there will be a time whereby he serves in the church. Well, prayerfully, as he serves in the church, there will be pastors guiding this person, even with regards to the service of the Lord. You know, some preachers may find that there are no pastors guiding them. They should not be bitter. Others, though, may find pastors guiding them. They also must not be bitter. We will talk about that, right? Because you realize that different people will go through different ways of training from the Lord. Now, for myself, when I graduated from FEBC, I was straight in Tabernacle PP Church. I mean, there are pastors who advised me, but in general, I did not have a pastor leading and guiding. I know Reverend Joshua Yong had a pastor to guide him. Sometimes the one that does not have a pastor to guide him will complain, "What come there's no pastor guiding me?" Sometimes the one that's a pastor guiding him, he will say, "How come there's a pastor? I must keep being assistant to this pastor. When can I be a pastor?" Then when one becomes an assistant pastor, they start to ask, "When can I be the top pastor?" Well, you think pastors don't have that kind of thoughts? I'm pretty sure pastors have that kind of thoughts. It's foolish thinking, but sometimes they may come in. So you go in the workplace, young men and young women, and then you go in and then you have certain expectations. Firstly, your salaries, firstly, your job prospects, and then you go in and then after that, it says, "Huh, how come the workplace is like this? What kind of guidance am I receiving? Why is the, everything seems to be so toxic?" Right? Now toxic is the favorite word. "Hey, everything seems to be so toxic. Wow, all these storms that blow around me. And then I have already been in this company for 1 year. What exactly is my prospects in life? Time for me to resign." You better go down on your knees and pray. Yeah, I'm not discounting the fact that sometimes God may really want you to move on. But could it be that you are impatient with regards to the training in which God has subjected you to? How long was Moses training before he was ready to lead the children of Israel in the wilderness? How long? Well, before he departed from Egypt, he was how old? 40, right? So 40 years, right? Trained in what? 40 years trained in the courts of Egypt. After that, how many years in Midian? Another 40 years, right? 40 years as a shepherd, you know? Sometimes we miss that out. 40 years as a shepherd. And after that, then 40 years in the wilderness. For every year of service, 1 year of training. So Dylan, how many years of training for preachers before they can become pastors? 40 years, right? No, not necessarily. Yeah, of course, we cannot apply it in this way. So I pray that, for example, if some next time here become preachers, well, be patient. And do not compare with your friends. Some may be earlier than others, and some may be later. But God has his due time, right? When one is ready to be a pastor. Don't be impatient. Of course, I pray pastors also, therefore, do not look at these 40 years and therefore says, I take a time. I make sure 40 years for this person before he becomes a pastor. No, everybody is according to God's will and God's timing. All right? I hope you all get the key point. Because there is a time of training, so therefore, learn to be patient. If you want to have the kind of courage, if you want to have the kind of strength, you must be patient and subject yourselves to the training of the Lord. Consider this carefully, dear friends, especially in view of what you are going through right now with regards to your studies. I know studies are not easy for all of you FCMers. Question was asked of me yesterday. How long have you been serving FCM? I actually have not considered, but now looking back, it was 17 years. And before that, 17 years, I was also in FCM as just like all of you. That's how I came to know my wife, by the way. Right? So far, 17 years, I did not know. 17 years in FCM. And throughout that 17 years, I've seen how things get progressively more and more difficult in terms of the workload demands and the kind of activities which all of you as tertiary students are being subjected to. But even then, dear friends, the principle is the same. This is part of the Lord's training. Now for Moses, his training was in 40 years in looking after dumb sheep in Midian, right? And from there, he will learn exactly what it means to look after sheep, because, the children of Israel will behave exactly like sheep, right? All of us are the sheep of the Lord. Don't you think the children of Israel's behavior reflect very much like how we behave before the Lord? Come on, let's be honest. We are like them. We are no different. Sometimes we look at the children of Israel complaining and murmuring. Right? They murmur over what? Over food, right? They say, how come there is no food? Right? They murmur. After that, when food is given, they say, how come food every day the same? How many of you complain that their food every day that mommy and daddy cook for you is the same? All right, who is in the camp committee in charge of food here? Oh, Dylan, you are. Okay, let's ask the camp committee. Can we ask the aunties every day cook the same food, provide char siu pao for your can? Every day char siu pao, fine, right? I think Auntie Helen, Auntie Mission will have an easier time. All the same food, can? Yes? Good, right? Also easier for the camp committee. Fine. Everyday char siu pao. Morning char siu pao. Lunch char siu pao. Dinner char siu pao. Tea time char siu pao. Supper char siu pao. Okay. No problem, right? By the time you come to Friday night, he says, oh, I'm glad FCM camp is over because every day I only eat char siu pao. I wish the camp committee will vary their food. And then after that, submit a review to Reverend Joshua Yong. May I suggest next time with FCM we vary our food? Now, I'm not saying please don't vary the food, okay? Always do your best, even in food ministry. But you see how we are like? We are no different from the children of Israel, we complain about everything. So Moses had to be subjected to that kind of training. Now Joshua, what was he subjected to? he was very blessed by the Lord that he can be Moses' assistant. And then he could see and then could witness for 40 years how Moses handled all the different situations. So the training for Joshua was very, very different. In a way, some may say that Joshua's training was easier. Having said that, I don't think it's fair to say that Joshua's training was easier. Sometimes being an assistant also has its difficulties. But at least you can say that Joshua was privileged, right, to have a godly man, Moses, right, to be his mentor, to be the one to disciple him. And he subjected himself to 40 years of training. Never at any point of time in the wilderness journey do you see Joshua saying, I give up being an assistant. Neither did he say, I want to take over Moses early as the assistant. Even though the way the scriptures have written, it would seem very clear, even in the eyes of the children of Israel, that the next one that should be the leader of the children of Israel was Joshua. But never at one point of time did he say, already 20 years you know Moses, now it's time for me to be that leader. So dear friends, be strong and of a good courage in your life. Requires patience. Patience is part of that equation. Not just next time here, not just now in school, but urge every one of you next time when you graduate as FCMS and you go into the workforce, don't allow the world to pressurize you to lose your patience. We're not talking about patience with people. We are talking about patience with regards to each step that you take with regards to your career. Always make sure that you go down on your knees and pray. Always make sure that you seek God's words. Always make sure that you are not leaving the workplace because you just refuse to rely upon God's grace and to subject to the training that you have at work. Whether be it handling of deadlines, whether be it handling of difficult people at work, make sure it's not due to impatience or lack of humility to subject oneself to all these things. Sometimes in pride, we may reject all these things. We say, I deserve better. The next time when we finally find a job that is ready to put us there in that bigger role, after that we realize that we are grossly unprepared, then we'll go about in life, one job after another job, until finally we come and then you realize you're back to square one. Then that company now says, why do you go about so many companies? Then now you come back to us. We are not ready to offer you a job. Whose fault? Our fault. We are not patient to receive God's training. And then every man will be trained in a different way. Just like you see with regards to Moses, thus you see with regards to Joshua. Moses, he was straight away thrust into it. Of course, he had 40 years of training with sheep, but after that, he was thrust into it. He don't have somebody like, for example, Joshua had Moses, but who did Moses had? No, Moses just learned everything directly from the Lord. Every man is different. So don't compare. Don't compare your training, which you are subjected to, with your fellow mate, even in FCM. How come I go to the same company and then this person under a good boss, I under a bad boss? But the Lord finds it in good wisdom to make it that way. Now, what then did Joshua learn from Moses? So many things, right? To Moses, he also learned patience, because Moses' patience was very much tried throughout the whole period of wandering in the wilderness. as mentioned just now, the people, they were stiff-necked and rebellious people, oftentimes complaining. Somehow Moses was very patient in handling them each step of the way. Of course, he also saw how that one step of impatience towards the end of Moses' life led to Moses not being able to enter the promised land. And this is despite the fact that Moses still had strong faculties. He's physically strong, mentally very sound. But he was not allowed by the Lord to enter in. The importance of patience. He needed that, right? Especially when dealing with the children of Israel. The children of Israel, they were oftentimes rebelling against God and giving Moses a lot of trouble. Be strong and have good courage means, should he just simply blast, right? Blast out at the children of Israel and show forth uncontrolled anger? No. There are times where he did not to show righteous anger. And he did that, you know, for example, at the incident of the golden calf. But at the incident of the golden calf, please understand that he was not doing it out of frustration. Well, he could, some may say that, you know, if Moses was frustrated at the point of time, it was fully justified because, you know, by the time the golden calf incident occurred, how many times did he ascend Mount Sinai? Do you all know? Well, you can study the scriptures. I would not, due to lack of time, I would not go through the number of times, the verses that talk about it, but five times. By the time, already five times. Up, down, up, down, up, down. And this is not by coach, okay? Today we go to Israel, we go to Mount Sinai. Okay, sorry, Israel, the one is Mount Nebo. Mount Sinai, I think you still have to climb. But some use camel, but camel or horse also not so, or whatever beast of burden they had there, also not so comfortable, you know? And then by the time we reach there, tired, come down, tired already. Up and down five times. And after that, golden calf incident. And do you know what happened after the golden calf incident? He had to climb Mount Sinai again to intercede for the children of Israel, and he did. He pleaded with the Lord to have mercy. The Lord says, I will make of you another people. But Moses pleaded on the basis of the glory of the God. Joshua saw this. He learned. He learned what it means to have a pastoral heart. Imagine that he have not seen all these things and then he was straightaway thrust into the task. How would he have handled the children of Israel, especially in times whereby they may display disobedience? Then another good lesson that Joshua learned was concerning the reality of life, death. And that's why you have Psalm 90, right? Which teaches, right, which Moses prayed, and from there we learn that it's so important to number our days in wisdom. Well, Moses saw a lot of funerals. And then Joshua would have seen all these funerals together with Moses. And in fact, by the time of Joshua chapter 1, maybe Joshua may have even felt alone. Because by this time, only him and Caleb of that generation remained. The rest died. The reality of life, the importance of numbering your days in wisdom. And so therefore, Joshua knew he had no time to waste, especially in fulfilling that call. He saw the meekness of Moses. And yet the the strength of Moses by still continuing to trust in the Lord no matter what, to just fulfill whatever God has called him to do no matter what. And yet, this meekness, this kindness before the children of Israel. That is what he learned in that 40 years of training. So be patient, dear SC members. And then when you have finished the time of training, when the time of action comes, this time you better go. Because right now in verse 2, the time of action, Moses, my servant, is dead. So now wake up to reality. Even if you hope that Moses be around, the time for him upon this earth is up. And now the Lord spoke to him. Arise. So first, make sure you get up. But some people will arise and then after that, they just stand still. No, you make sure you arise, awaken from your stupor, and then after that, you make sure you go over this Jordan. And make sure it's not only yourself, make sure you bring all these people along with you. So not just you. But you yourself set the first example by going over. But fulfill your call by bringing all these people unto the land which I do give to them, right? Which I am about to give to them, even to the children of Israel. Some may spend many years of training, but after many years of training, when the time comes for them to take action, they flee from the action. They do not want to have anything to do with it. Dear friends, when the time comes for the fight to earnestly contend for the faith, you must. The time comes for you to take a stand for the Lord, you must. The time comes for you to be courageous for the Lord, you must. It could be something, even simple things like going on to the next phase of life. You know, some young people, when they talk about marriage, they are not of good courage. They are not strong. You know why? Because they keep saying to themselves, well, before we get married, we better need this amount of money before we get married. So they go and listen to financial advisors. Ah, how much do you need? 1 million. Okay, 1 million. But by the time they get 1 million, the financial advisor will tell them, sorry, we forget to account for inflation. So you need more. And then you realize that they forever will never reach that amount. Forever never get married. Forever never take the step of faith to go forward and then to trust in the Lord to get married. And then in the end, they end up in what? In sin. Now, before you get married, there is a time of training. Don't rush. But when it's the time to get married, don't procrastinate. Trust in the Lord and take the step forward and submit yourselves to God's will. Same when it comes to the battles for the faith. For me, well, the way I'm trained as a Christian was once I was born again, it was straight into the controversy of the verbal plenary preservation of scriptures. That is my training. In fact, my training in FCM was also this. We fought our battles of the verbal plenary preservation in FCM. Some of our teachers are not for VPP. My own Bible study teacher was not for VPP. We fought those battles. But I'm aware that there are those that go before me. Before the battles of VPP began, they had a time of peace. And that was the time of the Lord's training. And then when the battle came, it was the time for them to fight. But some refused to fight. Some refused to serve. Some refused to stand beside men of truth. No, you must stand. You must go. There are those who are studying in FEBC and then they are supposed to be preachers of God's word. But then after that, when they go to the field, when it comes for the time to stand, they lack courage. And then after that, they drift to the world. Now, very soon, a time for you to stand will come. Why? Because you are going to finish your training in tertiary institutions and then you are going to enter into the workplace. Will you therefore say, I will take up this mantle which the Lord has given to me to bear a good testimony in my workplace and do my best for the master? You must. There is the time for action. So Joshua, don't just stand there and moan anymore. The time for action has come. You have been sufficiently trained. And the one who says he has been sufficiently trained is who? Is the Lord. Now the time is for you to go. Go. So we pray, dear FCMers, when the time for you to go, you will also say, I will go. But you will only find that strength and that courage if right now you are patient with regards to submitting yourself to the training of the Lord. Let us pray. Most gracious and merciful Father in heaven, we thank thee, O Lord, for thy precious word which you have given to us. And indeed, Lord, as we ponder upon what you have done in the life of Joshua, we can only marvel at thy wisdom. We can only marvel, O Lord, at thy care for him. And Lord, indeed, as we see how Joshua would later on stand firm for the faith, we can only say, all glory be unto thee, the one who is our shepherd, the one who is our guide. And so, Father, Lord, even as we now go for the time of break, we pray, Lord, that you will refresh us so that as we come back, we will be ready to continue our study of this passage to learn more about what it means to be a man who is spiritually strong and courageous in the truth. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.